I am eternally grateful for the opportunity to be able to be back and to worship God in spirit and in truth with you, and hope, pray, and trust that the things that we talk about this week will be not only beneficial, but they will help you as a child of God. This morning, we talked about one gospel, no confusion. And in that message, we were considering in chapter 1, as Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, he's writing to those good brethren, and they were established in Acts 13, and these good brethren were established by the Apostle Paul. And we was looking at Galatians 1 and verse number 6, where Paul said that I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. And we looked at what is the gospel, and we considered that gospel as it relates to the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, and the kingdom of God, Mark 1, 14 and 15, and how the gospel is God's power to save, and also the righteousness of God is in the gospel. And Paul was actually getting on those good brethren because they have allowed some Judaizing teachers, some Jewish teachers, to come in and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, to trouble their minds. And it caused Paul to be very frustrated with them. And as the Apostle Paul is talking and writing and working with the good brethren there, he wrote that particular letter to them with his own hand, according to Galatians 6 and verse number 11. And as Paul is continuing to build on this idea of greatness in Galatians, I'm fascinated on how this letter builds. And the reason why is because when we think about the law of Moses versus the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, Paul is actually demonstrating to them that there is no comparison, for the law of Moses actually led them to the law of Christ. So there should have been no comparison because the one led to the other. And so when you get to chapter 2, and if you will, let's look at verse number 11 through verse 21, as we are going to be talking about greatness in Galatians, authentically walking straightforward. If I could sum it up in 3 or 4 words, love God and neighbor. Love God and neighbor. And here in verses 11 through verse number 21, I want us to read this because I believe it's worthy of our consideration. I promise I won't keep you that long on this morning, just long enough to get the thought across. Hopefully you'll come back tonight as we look at chapter 3 and we consider how this great book continues to build. And it's going to help us, as the theme for New Boston, I believe, this year is authentic Christianity. We just simply want to be authentic. We want to be genuine and real and honest and open and transparent. And so in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 11 and following, notice what your Bible here says, reading from the New King James rendering. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Good question. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside or frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. That's the reading of the Word of God. And I want us to consider for a few minutes a subject in which to preach authentically, walking straightforward. Here, when we think about being authentic, we're talking about walking straightforward. But what does it mean to walk straightforward? Literally, the idea of walking straightforward is to act uprightly. That's the word in the original language. However, there are more definitions as it relates to straightforwardness. And if we're going to be authentic, it literally means to be honest, clear, direct, open, simplistic, plain. I believe those are great definitions. And when we stop and we consider Paul, as he is rebuking Peter for his lack of genuineness, his lack of authenticity to Christ and the gospel to the Gentiles, Paul understood that he had a responsibility to preach the gospel. He had a responsibility to minister to the Gentiles, if you will. And he was not going to allow Peter to thwart the will and the way of God through his hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, we see in Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, Paul is actually getting on him because when we stop and we think about the church of Christ in the first century, it was important for the Jews and the Gentiles to get along with one another. Why? Because it was Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through verse number 14, he broke down that middle wall of partition that was between the Jews and the Gentiles. And here, as he is getting on the Apostle Peter, and in front of all of them, Peter, you know better. Why should you have known better? Jesus Christ, as he reveals himself to Peter in Acts chapter 10 and also Acts chapter 11, with the sheet that came down with the different animals upon it, as a matter of fact, the unclean animals, and Jesus told him with his own mouth, if you will, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, no, Lord, for my lips have never touched anything unclean. He said, do not call that which I have cleansed common. He gives a great illustration there. And that illustration is that I'm cleansing the Gentiles. And I'm cleansing them with the gospel. I'm cleansing them with the word of God. I'm cleansing them with my blood. I'm cleansing them with the new covenant. Peter, he's being rebuked by Paul, because he wasn't walking authentically. He wasn't walking straightforward. He wasn't walking uprightly. And the problem was when Peter would draw in the Jews and also Barnabas, the son of encouragement, he was also carried away by the hypocrisy. And so when we think about three things we want to consider, number one, in verses 11 through verse 13, we want to consider walking authentically requires correction at times. If we're going to be authentic, if we're going to be genuine, if we're going to be Christ-like, every now and then, we're going to be called to the carpet. Number two, we want to talk about walking authentically requires the truth of the gospel. And that's in verse 14 through 16. If we're going to be authentic, it's going to require truth. I'm reminded of what John said on one occasion, good brethren. In 1 John 2 and verse 21, there is no lie of the truth. If I'm going to be authentic, if I'm going to be genuine, transparent, it's going to require the truth of the gospel, and it's going to require me walking straightforward concerning the truth of the gospel. Number three, we want to talk about walking authentically requires not building up what was torn down. Walking authentically requires not building up what was torn down, verses 17 through 21. Paul makes it absolutely clear that the law of Moses was not the current system of justification, rather the system of the Spirit, the system of Christ. Friends, Paul was getting on Peter, because if Peter was allowed to get away with walking away from the Gentiles when he saw James and the Jews coming because he was sitting and eating with the Gentiles, he'd have split the church of Christ right in half again. No, sir. No, ma'am. Authentically walking straight, authentic Christianity requires greatness, friends. And when I consider the book of Galatians, chapter 1 is a beautiful foundation, as God is the author of such greatness. And chapter 2, as it builds on top of that, I find it very interesting, this great book. Point 1, verses 11 through 13. Open up your Bibles and let's look at this. Walking authentically requires correction. In verses 11 through 13, we read all of it in our hearing. Let's read it again. Let's make a few comments. Let's make some applications, and then let's continue to move forward. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, implying that he heard about this situation. And it's like, okay, when Peter gets here, I got to talk to him. I got to make sure that he knows what he did. I withstood him to his face. Literally in the Greek, I got in his grill. Yeah, I got in his grill. I had to. And he gives the reason why. He said he was to be blamed for, and he gives the charge. He gave the charge, brethren, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. It was no problem eating with the Gentiles. As long as James and the Jews didn't know about it, Peter was eating with the Gentiles, which meant that it was nothing wrong with it in his mind. However, when his friends from the circumcision came, when his friends from the Jews came, he separated himself. He withdrew himself. Literally in the Greek, he went AWOL on the Gentiles. To go AWOL today in the military could cost you Leavenworth. That's where you're going to end up. You're going to be in jail. If you used to go AWOL, you get a duty assignment, I'm not going to go. Okay, you don't have to go, but you're going to be locked up. Here, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Verse 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas, I love how Paul by inspiration says, even Barnabas, if anybody ought to know better, it would have been Barnabas. He was the son of encouragement. He was carried away by the hypocrisy. And so I think about this, and I thought about how Peter, he knew better. He was the one that was going to open up the church, according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following. He was going to have the keys to the kingdom. He was going to be opening up the church, if you will. We understand all of the apostles were going to be preaching there on the day of Pentecost. But Peter was also going to be there, but he was going to be there on the time in which the Gentiles were going to obey the gospel in Acts 10, Acts 11. And here, by the mouth of Peter, we find the gospel being preached to the Gentiles, and they obeying the gospel just like they did on the day of Pentecost. So if anybody knew better, if anybody understood that the Gentiles were just as Christians as the Jews were, it should have been Peter. So he rebukes him. And it caused me to think that walking authentically requires correction. Do you know, according to Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, that if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. But if you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate you. I used to tell my children all the time when they were growing up, now be careful, young one, be careful. Why? Because it says a lot about you when I correct you. If you hate me because I correct you, it says a lot about you. Really, those whom God loves, he chastens. He corrects. Hebrews chapter 12, 7 through 9. It is a beautiful thing to be corrected. I know we don't see it like that, especially as Americans being here in the West. You know what? I'm right. I'm always right. But no, we're not always right. As a matter of fact, there is a chance for us being wrong, especially men. I'm just saying, I'm married too. And one thing my wife, she don't mind doing is correcting me. But I don't mind at times. At times. I'll be authentic here. At times. Oh, you're right. I need to do better there. One thing we see, that when we consider Paul correcting Peter, that demonstrated that he knew the truth, Paul. He also knew that Peter knew the truth. It also tells us that being confronted requires listening skills and a willingness to admit that you could be wrong. And it also means that confronting requires truth, strength, love, and a willingness to be rejected. Because just because we may correct someone doesn't mean they will accept the correction. But just because we're being corrected doesn't mean that I'm living in sin. I just could need a little correction. When I think about the book of Galatians and the beauty of it, Paul understood that if I don't say something to Peter, this could disrupt the church. Friends, it's the same for us. These are good biblical principles, even in the home, on the job, even in our community. But there is a way that we need to rebuke, or a way that we need to correct, or to have the right attitude when we're being corrected. If we're going to walk authentically, it requires correction. Why? Because I'm not always right. I'm not always right. Even though the Bible demonstrates that a man thinks that he's always right in his own eyes, he's not always right. Peter, he knew he was wrong. Why? Because here come the brethren and he's walking away. Can you imagine the Gentiles and they're looking at Peter as he gets up, he walks away, he withdraws himself like, Peter, where are you going? You've been eating with us all this time, and now here come James and the rest of the Jews and you're walking away from. Can you imagine how they felt? Here, when we understand walking authentically, it requires us being honest and people of integrity. It requires us loving God, self, and our neighbor. It requires us truly examining ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Friends, greatness in Galatians, this is amazing information for us, because it actually teaches us that every now and then I need to be corrected. And so my wife and I, we have a 22 Lincoln Aviator. And that thing is almost like a Tesla. It almost drives by itself. But every now and then, you know, you take your hands off the wheel and you just let it drive, and it gets over into near the lane and it just starts doing this, starts shaking. Things just start shaking. Even the car understands that I got to get straight. That's pretty good application, right? Friends, that's us too. We get close to that line and someone says, or we get close to that line and the word of God reminds us, we get close to that line, we just start shaking. You ought to start shaking a little bit. Why? Because I'm not always straight. I'm not always right. But the word of God and good brethren, and come in and fellowship with the brethren every first day of the week, on Wednesday, or any opportunity we have, we get to hear things. We get to talk about the word of God. And even though I might not say something to you, something you said caused me to be reminded as I'm driving home from the fellowship, like, you know what, brother so-and-so said such and such. I need to work on that. So Paul, as he rebukes Peter to his face, one thing we learn about Peter, turn your Bible to 2 Peter 3. And look at verse number 15. I love this about Peter. I know he was a little impulsive. I know he would do things that was kind of out of the ordinary, cutting off Malchus's ear. Jesus would have to tell him, you live by the sword, you die by it. But the man had a good heart. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 15, matter of fact, let's look at verse 14 and 15. In 2 Peter 3, 14 and 15, therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. Also, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom God given to him, has written to you. Hold on. Peter calls Paul his beloved brother later? If we're being corrected, we're not calling that brother beloved. But he called him beloved. I figure if I'm going to bring the charge against Peter, as Paul did, I need to use all of the information that the Bible has, and I need to balance this thing out so it tells me that Peter, he accepted the rebuke, and he actually moved forward and got better, even to the point that he calls Paul his beloved brother. Friends, that tells me that he was genuine. That tells me that he wasn't faultless, but it also tells me, as a Bible student, he was blameless. A lot of times people want to hem up the children of God, the members of the Lord's church, and as if we're talking sinlessness. We're not talking sinlessness. We're talking being blameless. But what does that mean? It means that nothing can be held to my charge. That means that I may sin, but I'll get it right in mind, in body, and in action. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 14, as I just read, we understand that Paul, Peter, was blameless. That's the way we ought to be. And when I think of the book of Galatians, as Paul is rebuking Peter to his face in public, Peter took it the right way. And so no one can charge Peter from this day forward for being one who was always that way. He got it right. Authentic Christianity is not just sinning, but getting the sin right. That's what Christianity is about. We know that we're going to fail, sin from time to time, but we shouldn't be walking in sin. We ought to be walking in the light, 1 John 1 and verse number 7. And when corrected with a genuine heart, friends, we make things right. That makes us blameless. I just want to be blameless, don't you? Don't you want to be blameless? That's the greatness of the book of Galatians as well. It demonstrates that a group of people who found themselves walking in the footsteps of Jesus, walking according to the Spirit's teaching, yet they're being fooled, bamboozled by these Judaizing teachers. They begin to yield to it. And here comes Paul as he's writing to them. We need to get this right. Point two. Walking authentically requires the truth of the gospel, verses 14 through 16. Look at verses 14 through 16 of Galatians chapter 2. Y'all stay with me, because when we think about building, we're just building on this greatness that's here. In verses 14 through 16, notice what the Bible says. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, in order that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified, be declared right. Again, walking authentically requires the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel, Paul would even say in verse number 5 of chapter 2, that we didn't give them no not 1 hour because of the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel was concerning them who was trying to lead them back to the law of Moses and Jesus Christ, and him being crucified is always the focus of the gospel message, brethren. If Peter would have gotten away with that, then the cross meant nothing. Friends, you know why we go out and we live the right life in front of non-Christians? Do you know why we live the right life in front of one another? Because we want people to see Christ and Him crucified in our lives. And no wonder Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 and 3, "For I determined to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified." We live the crucified life, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But here, it requires the truth of the gospel. And for this reason, brethren, this is why we have to make sure that we have truth in our minds, not our truth, as the world is teaching today. You live your truth, I live my truth. No, sir, we have the truth of the gospel, the word of God. Paul wasn't getting on Peter because he didn't like what he was doing. Paul got on Peter because he wasn't walking straight forward concerning the truth of the gospel. Because it's possible for us to like things that are not right. And the more I considered that, as I get older, I've learned that the things that God doesn't like, I need to hurry up and get out of my heart. Because I don't have much time. You know, when you're young, you think you got a lot of time. Well, I've been here 3 times, and over the last 10 years, I guess when I first got here, I was probably 43. Now I'm 53. You know what I'm realizing? I'm getting closer to the grave. And I need to get more of me out of me. And I need to get more of Christ in me. Amen. And here's the question. What if I got a different Jesus in my mind? What if I got another Jesus in my mind? What if I have another gospel in my mind? What if I'm living according to a different gospel rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God? What if I have that in my mind? Then I'm not going to see Christ. Not the Christ of the Bible. And it's so important that we live according to the truth of the gospel. And so the cross of Christ, it shows the love of God for all people. And again, this is why Paul had to rebuke Peter. He had to do it in front of them all to let them know that God loves you. He loves you Gentiles. And what Peter and the Jews and Barnabas did wasn't right. It was important. And if Brother Bonner does something that's not right, then I need to make it right publicly if it's a public sin. But if it's private, then I need to go to God and I need to make it right between me and God. So when I think about the cross of Christ, if you don't hear nothing else I say this week, hear this. When we think about the cross of Christ, Brother Edward, we see how far God is willing to go. And we see how much God is willing to pay for us to be straight. Because He could have left us in our sins. Wow. Authentic Christianity requires the truth of the gospel. And no wonder, again, Jesus broke down that middle wall of partition. No wonder, Galatians 3, 28 and 29, we'll discuss this tonight. No wonder at the feet of Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for we're all one. We're all one. Paul, he had to. There's some things that men have to do. Men, if you are a husband, if you are a father, you have the responsibility to make sure that the truth of the gospel is required to be lived out in the home. Grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, children, you have a responsibility to live authentic lives. The way you live publicly ought to be the way you live privately. The way you live at school is the way you ought to live at home. And the way you live at home is the way you ought to live amongst Christians. Be authentic. Be transparent. And one thing I love about light, as it goes through glass, it actually allows, the glass allows the light to shine through it without objection. That's the way we ought to be. And Paul, as he sees this in Peter, he sees some discrepancies. He sees some blurriness. And the only thing he needed to do was to muster up the spiritual strength to go to him. Peter, I love you. But Peter, if you keep this up, then the Gentiles are going to believe that they're not as important as the Jews, and that's not right. That's not right. Why? Because the gospel is for all men, not y'all men. The gospel is for everybody. And that's why when we go out, friends, the message that we teach and preach is the gospel, the oneness of the church, the unity of the spirit, and the bond of peace. And we show the world that we love one another. And Jesus would say with his own mouth that the world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. Paul loved Peter. He loved the Jews. He loved Barnabas. And he loved the Gentiles so much that he got in Peter's face and said, "No, Peter, no. You're compelling these Gentiles to live as Jews? Don't do that. No circumcision. They already were circumcised when they were baptized into Christ." And so the truth actually causes us to stand erect. It causes us to stand upright. Friends, don't alter the truth. Don't manipulate the truth. Don't circumvent the truth. Don't go around the truth. Sometimes when husband and wife are talking, y'all hear me, please. That ought to be a relationship where you ought to be able to speak truth to each other. You get to the church, and it ought to be that way. It's not, but it ought to be. But it ought to be at home. We ought to be able to talk truth at home between husband and wife. I'll let you in on some of my business. I believe it's apropos right here. Sometimes that safe place, even for myself, is not there at home. And we got to talk about those safe places. But there's a God in heaven. There's a Father in heaven that when we approach him through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, there's always a safe place with him. I can always pour my heart out to him. I can tell him what's on my mind, and I allow the word of God to rebuke me, to reprove me, to exhort me, to admonish me, to help me. As the relationship gets stronger at home with the brethren, with my God, I begin to live authentically. I know for a fact that this world that we live in today, there's so much trickery and fakery, you don't know where to go. And we love, again, I said it to the morning class, I'll say it to you who were not here, we love AI, artificial intelligence, but you better be careful with it, because some of it is so fake, you don't know what you're looking at. And we got people today that they don't even have real friends. They have AI friends. Friends, in Christ, a real friend is what Paul did to Peter. That's a real friend. Oh, that's a real friend. Husband and wives, be real friends. Siblings, be real friends. Brethren, be real friends. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say." The truth must be obeyed. And therefore, our responsibility to the truth of the gospel is so important. And so for this reason, we have to be reminded that salvation is in Christ. The Jews and the Gentiles in the book of Galatians, they're both in Christ. Why? Because God put salvation in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10. And for this reason, friends, we have all spiritual blessings which are in Christ, all because of the truth, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. I know, again, you got your truth and I got my truth. And well, it doesn't matter what church we go to. It doesn't matter our behavior. But if that was the case, then Paul didn't have a need or the will to rebuke Peter to his face. You didn't walk straight forward concerning the truth of the gospel, Peter. And you're going to tear the church right up. Don't do that, Peter. Don't do that. The truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. And so we don't add to it. And we don't take away from it.
And we don't bind things on the brethren that shouldn't be bound, Galatians 6 and verse 13. We just stay with the word of God, stay with the truth of the gospel, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we do this, God is pleased. We get to see our brethren for who they are. They get to see us for who we are, transparent, reliable, honest, just, good, open. Those things are difficult, brethren. And some of y'all are probably mad right now. But that's your problem. You know why? Because the world in which we live in, it's okay for you to just be who you are. But if you're not open, transparent, if you're not authentic, then you're not real. And if you're not real, I can't rely upon you. And God can't either. Amen. A man doesn't want a wife that's not authentic, open, transparent, honest, respectful, loving. Mm-mm. And vice versa. A woman doesn't want a husband who is a womanizer, not open, honest, reliable. They don't want that. Well, if we don't want it, as God would say in the book of Malachi chapter 3, offer it to the governor and see if he'll take it. Oh, no. Paul had to rebuke Peter. Look at verses 17 through 21. Walking authentically requires not building up what has been torn down. What do you mean by that? It's right there in the text. Paul said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, not the law of Moses, not the blood of bulls and goats, not the Levitical system, Aaronic priesthood, Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? He says, God forbid. Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, if I obey the gospel and I'm trying to live the life that I used to live before I obeyed the gospel, he said, why are you building up what you tore down? Why are you building up the law of Moses, Peter, Jews, Barnabas? Why are you doing that? Why are you listening to the Judaizing teachers? Don't do that. I tore that down when I obeyed the gospel. I tore that down when I said I wanted Jesus Christ to be my Lord, my master, my king. I tore that down. I said I no longer want to live for myself. I want to live for the one that died for me. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Do you know that Christianity can be wrapped up in two passages, brethren? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verses 14 and 15. Christianity could be wrapped up with these passages right here. And notice what he says in verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's why we're living. Peter, what are you doing? Barnabas, what are you doing? Jews, what are you doing? Don't do that. Why? Because you're building up what you tore down. I know we made some comments about the home. But I'm making those comments because our home is being attacked again. Please hear me. Our home is being attacked again. What do you mean again? It seems like it is an onslaught against marriage. It's an onslaught against the home. Children don't know their parents. Parents don't know their children. Husband and wife don't know one another. Leadership in the home is almost an all-time low. People are not even wanting to go to church no more. Paul tells Peter, let's not build up what we tore down. As we close, look at verse number 19 and 20. This is a good song. We sing this song. Good passages. We sing these passages. He says, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God, Romans 7, verse number 4. if anybody understood the law of Moses, it was Paul. Lived his whole life almost under the law of Moses until he was confronted by Christ on that day when he was on his way on Damascus, the Damascus road there. And when we stop and consider this, from that time forward, when Ananias preached to him the gospel, from that time forward, he preached Christ and him crucified. He didn't go back to the law of Moses. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the law of Moses, he wouldn't have come to Christ. And the more that he read about the law of Moses, the more the law of Christ opened up to him. I would not have known Christ if it wasn't for the law. In other words, Paul is saying if a Jew was to read the law of Moses, he would end up in Christ. He would end up in Christ. So look what he says in verse 20. He says, "For I'm crucified. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said, "I'm not looking back." Remember Lot's wife? "I'm not looking back. The old man is dying daily. I'm not looking back. I'm bearing fruit unto God now. I'm living for God now." Perhaps you're contemplating leaving Christianity and leaving morality and leaving the righteousness of God. Can we beg you? Can we plead with you? Don't do that. Don't build the things that you tore down. Don't do that. The application for us is astounding, that the Word of God is designed to penetrate our hearts if we will allow it. I'm reminded of what Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." See, Jesus is not like some these law officers, these policemen. He's not kicking down the door to come into your house. He's just... The knob is on the inside, as the old preachers used to say. You got to open up. But if you don't open up, he can't come in. Amen. You got to open up. If you're going to authentically walk straight forward concerning the truth of the gospel, you got to open up. And if you open up, he said, Jesus said, "I will come in and I will sup with you. My Father and I will be with you." That's what we're looking for. But you got to be honest. You have to be authentic. You have to be real. And the reason why is because of verse 21, we don't want to frustrate the grace of God. We just want to be authentic. We want to put ourselves in a position where the Word of God is teaching us and correcting us. We want to be in a position where the Word of God is removing all of the impurities and the contaminations and the corruption spiritually, in order for us to live unto God. In order for us to be crucified with Christ, it's no longer I live, it's now Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, he says, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now watch this, who loved even me. He loved me, gave himself for me. If Christianity is not an even me, even for me religion, it's no religion at all. And so, I learned some things as I close. I learned that Satan really wants to destroy me, but he can't if I don't let him, because I hold the key. I have to surrender. And we must surrender to authenticity. We must surrender to authentic Christianity, publicly and privately. We have to. Because in order for us to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." I have to be authentic. I have to be transparent. I have to be willing to be corrected. I have to be willing to do that which is right. Authentically walking straightforward. That's what this life is about. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your high and your holy name. We're so thankful for the opportunity. We're thankful for the book of Galatians. We're thankful for your love for us. And we're thankful for your darling son that teaches us how to please you. Father, sometimes we're just not authentic. We have been contaminated and corrupted by the world around us. And we have allowed the world sometimes to infiltrate our hearts, causing us to not be real and authentic. Help us to authentically walk according to truth. Help us to demonstrate that to one another as brethren, to our children, grandchildren. Help us to be like your son. We pray to Father that we will surrender our will and live for the one that died for us. That's your son. We love you. We know we fail at times. We sin against you. We pray that you give us time and space as Jesus gave Jezebel room, space to repent. Give us room and space to repent. That we may be a blameless people before your son when he comes back. We love you again, Father. And it is in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. The only way that you can be a child of God, you have to obey God's son. And Jesus would say a long ago, as he is talking to his disciples, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus would say on one occasion, I tell you nay, except you repent. You shall all likewise perish. Jesus would say on another occasion, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus wants you to be saved. That's why he gave his life. But you have to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been authentic. You have a semblance of Christianity. It just seems like you're a child of God. But in your heart and in your public actions away from the church, it's not the case. We beg you. We plead with you. Turn. Turn. So you can be with Jesus in the end. So you can actually hear the words, well done. So you can be like Peter. Not sinless, blameless. As we stand before Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing our Savior's invitation.